Our reading is from John 16, and it's verses 5 to 16 of that chapter. It's on page 1084 in the Pew Bibles, 1084, and it's headed, "The Work of the Holy Spirit." Jesus said to his disciples, "But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate or the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. It will convict the world of guilt, because people do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. Then after a little while, you will see me." Thanks be to God. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with us as we reflect on your word now. Speak from it to our hearts and minds, our soul and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose at this point in John's Gospel, we have to be grateful that John was listening, because I'm not quite sure where the state of mind of most of the disciples was just at this time. Apparently, these things that Jesus is saying are things he is saying to them on the night of the Last Supper. There's not a particular account of the Last Supper at this point in John's Gospel. Rather, we have the story of the washing of the disciples' feet. But we're told that's then when it was. And after chapter 16, we come to chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus made in Gethsemane. But he's been talking to them about the fact that he's going to leave them. He won't be with them in the way that he has been with them day by day for the last 3 years. says, it's a good thing for you I'm going away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. And then it goes on to talk of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting how the NIV heads up this section, the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure that's a very fortunate heading, and it's at those points that we have to realise that we can criticise the headings of these sections as much as we like, because they're not scripture. They're just what an editor has put at the top. I would have preferred it to say work of the Holy Spirit, because this isn't an attempt to give an account of the whole work of the Holy Spirit. But the first thing it tells us very clearly, and I think we underestimate this, because it's a vital part of any one of us coming to Christ. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. What is it that happens when we come to Christ? What is it that tips the balance? What is it that's going on? What is it that means in 1 hour we can feel fairly happy with life as it is, we know where we're going, or we think we know where we're going, and things are good and we're content, and then in a very short space of time we're aware of the profound presence of God and the fact that we cannot look him eye to eye, face to face, because we're convicted of our sin and we know that we have no hope other than in him. And Jesus is saying, when that happens, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is in ushering his people into the kingdom. Gospel preachers can shout and yell and rant as much as they like, but it's actually only the quiet moving of the Holy Spirit that tips people over from lost to found, from darkness to light, from confused to having clarity, from hurting to knowing joy in the Saviour. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the primary work of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest gift the Holy Spirit gives to any human being is the gift of salvation. And very often we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and rightly so. I'm not dismissing the gifts of the Spirit as Paul outlines them at all. But what I want to say is there's a primary gift. We'll never come to an understanding of those gifts unless we enter into receiving this primary gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of being made one with our Father God through what Jesus does for us on the cross. And Jesus says, I've got a lot more to say to you, men, but I think you can't take any more just now. But in time, The Holy Spirit will minister to you. And he's the Spirit of truth. And he'll guide you into all truth. But he won't speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. What is it the Holy Spirit hears? What the Holy Spirit hears is the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? The Word of God is Jesus Christ, John tells us. It's well worth our stopping to remember sometimes that these early Christians, and remember at this point, the crucifixion hadn't yet happened, the resurrection hadn't yet happened, Pentecost hadn't yet happened, but Jesus was preparing them and saying, my Spirit's got a work to do. Which is exactly what, of course, Jesus says to them as we read in the accounts in Luke and Matthew. Go and wait, because the Spirit's got a job to do on you, to prepare you, so that you can go and do my work in the world. But what they had got was the Spirit. What they hadn't got was this. Well, at least they hadn't got this bit of this. They got the Old Testament. Well, we say, well, they hadn't got this bit to guide them, but of course, they'd been with Jesus for 3 years. And what Jesus is promising them is that you keep in touch with the Spirit. You let the Spirit keep close contact with you. You keep talking to the Spirit, listening to the Spirit. I'll keep talking with you. You're going to be receiving the communication, as it were. I'm going to show you what you need for living. The Spirit is going to be with you. And the Spirit is promised not just to the disciples, the Christ followers of that day, but to you and to me today. There are those who say, well, you know, don't need all this Holy Spirit business these days. You can dismiss that. We've got this. And very quickly, their Christianity descends into a barren legalism. The whole point is that it is the Holy Spirit who makes sense of this. Just as it was the Holy Spirit who would continue to make sense of Jesus and the truth about Jesus to those early disciples. They'd not got anything written down about him, but hey, these guys had actually been with him. They'd walked with him, talked with him. I'm going into a hymn here, along life's narrow ways. Let's just finish the quote. But, you know, they had been with Jesus, and now the Holy Spirit was going to continue that level of communion. He would be their counselor, or advocate, or paraclete. It's not a helpful word, really, because it's a Greek word. And you'll realize that the word advocate and counselor are legal words. I don't think this means counselor as in the sense of I'm having therapy with a counselor. It is in a legal sense that it is meant. Because, firstly, we're told this counselor, this advocate, will convict the world of guilt. In a court case, the prosecutor is a counselor of law, an advocate. He stands there to say, this is the standard, this is how you have transgressed from the standard. But think about the lawyer's role. It is far more than just that. The lawyer is also one who explains the truth about something to you, who says this is what it means. He's the one who sits down and answers your questions. He's the one who's able to go through things and order them and show us a way forward. So the second bit of the work of the Holy Spirit that we are told about here is the work of the Holy Spirit that leads us through life for God. According to his word, the way of Christ. He'll bring glory to me, says Jesus, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. He'll show you what you need to know as you go along. Have you ever been in a situation and you've been wondering, should I do this, should I do that? You've picked up your Bible and you've just, you may be totally randomly, or in a sense it's random, even when you pick up your Bible and you look at the reading for today in your Everyday with Selwyn or whatever it is you're using, and you know, there's a particular Bible passage and you read it and you think, that verse, how did the writer of this book know that I was going to need this verse on this day in my life, especially given that I'm 2 weeks behind the plan? And yet today's the day I read it, and the Holy Spirit takes from what is Christ's and applies it to us. Because the Holy Spirit loves us with the love of the Father and the love of the Son, and is seeking to make us whole, and is seeking to guide us as we serve him. All that belongs to the Father is mine, said Jesus. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Don't worry, you're not going to see me for a while. But then you will see me. And never stop seeing me. We didn't have the privilege of walking with Jesus for those 3 years. Nor did we have the privilege of laying down our lives, as did all of those apostles. But we stand in line for the same promise that we will see him, who has been guiding us every step of the way, if we have been listening, watching, and waiting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your faithfulness. And the truth of this passage, that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into all truth. Lord, when the truth comes, help us to receive it. Help us to take it to heart. Help us to respond to it. Help us not to procrastinate and put it off, and then discover when we finally get round that the word has run dry, it's run cold, it's not relevant to us anymore because you've moved on. And then we need to catch up. but thank you that you are merciful, and when we come to you and when we confess our lapses, you put us where you want us. You forgive us, you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and you make us whole. So may the work of the Spirit proceed in us and eventually be complete in us, and until that time, cause us to be faithful Christ followers, open to the Holy Spirit at all times and in all places. In Jesus' name, Amen.